something that makes me want to shout. I got something that tells me what it's all about. I got soul and I'm super bad. I got soul and I'm super bad. Now I gotta move that tells me what to do. Sometimes I tear. Gotta move that tells me what to do. Sometimes I feel so nice, I wanna try myself a few. I got soul and I'm super bad. I'm love. I love to do my thing. And I don't need no one else. Sometimes I feel so nice. Good God. I wanna kiss myself. I've got soul, and I'm super bad. Hey, I said I'm super bad. Red, come on, up and down and round and round, up and down, all around. All about.
To the Kenyatta Williams Show, ladies and gentlemen. That song is pretty much self-explanatory. This is going to be a bonus edition. I'm letting you know now, I'm going to let this documentary run with the brothers, Professor Edwards and Dr. Edwards. And the name of it is titled, Why Are Blacks Different? What makes blacks or what makes black people different? Like I said, one nation under God. I love everybody. No hatred towards any other ethnicity or anything. But I definitely want to shed some light on this situation. And I love what these brothers, you know, have contributed from watching this documentary. So I think it'll be something nice to share with you guys. So I'm letting you know now, I'm not going to be doing a lot of talking or interrupting. I'm just going to let these brothers play. And I hope, you know, that I hope it resonates with you just like it resonated with me, you know. Once again, this is the Kenyatta Williams Show. Love, respect, and hope y'all enjoy the show.
Where's that? Let me hear you. Super bad.
Yes, definitely super bad. Definitely super bad. Y'all know it. Y'all already know. Like I said, once again, welcome to the Kenyatta Williams Show. Love, blessings, respect. And I don't know, y'all. All I can say is just continue to stay prayed, you know. It ain't no secret, you know, all the different things that we've been going through and seeing and witnessing since the end of 2019, like I said. And, you know, it's a lot, y'all. It's a lot, you know. It's so much stuff that's going on now that, like I said, I never, ever thought that I would see the likeness of in my just days of living, you know. But I thank God for the massive awakening. And once again, the purpose and intent in playing what I'm playing is for culture understanding, you know, so we can understand each other. You know, it's nothing malicious, nothing negative. I think y'all pretty much know by now I say what I feel. And, you know, I know I'm pretty controversial, outspoken. But once again, I love everybody that loves God, you know. So I hope y'all appreciate what these brothers are bringing. Again, these are the Robinson brothers, Professor Robinson and Dr. Robinson. I think I might have said that incorrectly in the beginning, but it's Professor Robinson and Dr. Robinson, and it's titled What Makes Black People Different. So I'm gonna sit back, eat my sour cream and onion ruffles, and drink my Heineken and love y'all, respect, you know. Welcome to the Kenyatta Williams Show, episode 4, bonus edition.
Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dr. Robinson, maybe you'll tell us a little bit about yourself. Introduce us to you and your brother, and tell us a little bit about the work you've been doing and a little bit about your background.
Well, we're a group of miseducated black folk, as 99% of so-called educated black folk are miseducated, because if you don't learn anything about the beauty, grandeur, and sophistication of your ancestors, then you're miseducated. I don't care how many degrees you have. We have several degrees. I'm a lawyer. I have a law degree. And I have all kinds of degrees, just proving that until you learn about Akhenaten, until you learn about Khufu, until you learn about Sunni Ali Bir, until you learn about the great masters of mathematics and astronomy of thousands of years ago who were black people, then you're miseducated. Mm-hmm. White people, fortunately for their children, they are taught about Galileo and Plato and Aristotle and the greatness of their European background. But we're not. So I was very happy to be introduced to my ancestors after I had accomplished 4 degrees. And that's when I started becoming educated. I practiced law in my company, which was a multi-million dollar life insurance company. And my brother and I had, with a group of black people, had built a little company up to a multi-million dollar level. And that was because our ancestors guided us, and we relied on our ancestors to guide us to success. We formed an organization called the Pan-African Federation Organization. My brother did, he's primary. A person who built this, a Professor Robinson, Professor Calvin Robinson, who not only helped build with a group of us a multi-million dollar life insurance company, but he also formed this organization called the Pan-African Federation Organization, the purpose of which is to spread the good news about the greatness and the beauty and grandeur and sophistication of our African ancestors. That's the purpose of the organization. Now, we spread that information by teaching classes, and my brother, Professor Calvin Robinson, has organized many classes throughout Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, New York, to teach this great story. He also wrote a book called The Journey of the Songhai People, which is considered by black historians as the foundational book for African and African-American history. It's called by Malefi Asante as being the basic book that all black people should own in order to get the real story of who we are. See, there are two kinds of history. One is cultural history, and that is the history of what happened thousands of years ago, what happened last year. That's cultural history. Then there's a physical history. And this physical history goes into why we have different colors, why we have different hair, why we have different features. And this is physical history. And this is what we've been guided by our ancestors to tell the children of the Sun people, and we are the Sun people, these are the African people, that they have been looked down upon, knowing that these, that our color and our hair are symbols of advanced.
Dr. Robinson?
Yes, sir.
That's magnificent. And you say, unless we know our history, we cannot really know who we are?
Not only that, we can never reach the potential that God has put into us. We'll never be the right students. Children can never reach the height of their academic proficiency. They can never reach the height of their behavior unless they know their African history. I'm saying it as clear and plain as I can. Not African American. African history.
Can you tell us why this is so? A lot of people say
there's a rule.
They don't feel that it's necessary.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people back in Columbus's day didn't feel that the earth was round. They thought it was flat. And somebody come around saying the earth is round, they say, I don't think it's important to know.
Or you're crazy.
The reason is of a law, and the law is called a territorial imperative. And that territorial imperative was followed down through the thousands of years. And it comes down to a maxim called, honor thy ancestors of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And the land giveth to black people is Africa. Not America. In the Bible, there are 8 references, scriptural references, to that you have to honor the ancestors of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We know that. You know that. In fact, when you to say the Ten Commandments, when you get to the 5th commandment, which is the only commandment with a promise. And that commandment says, honor thy father and thy mother, which means thy ancestors, so that thy days will be long. It gives you a promise.
Correct.
And also implies that if you don't honor your ancestors, your days will be short. Now, who has the shortest days in America? Black folk. Because we do not honor our African ancestors.
Yes.
Oh, they can give you all the Marian Anderses and Booker T. Washington. They're great people. But they're the icing on the cake. The cake is Africa. You don't ever think about eating just the icing. Eat both. And they have denied us the cake. Now, why? Well, the reason why, how they did it, was very, very clever. Very clever. In 1712, a man came to America. His name was Willie Lynch.
Yes.
And Willie Lynch told the plantation owners of the South, if you want to control these black folks, you got to stop allowing them to practice their history and teaching history to their children. Well, they didn't pay him much mind. And our fathers and mothers revolted and fought back, burned his houses and ran away and did all kinds of things. And they were prisoners of war.
Yes.
They were never slaves.
Mm-hmm.
Prisoners of war. They said, we call them slaves and make them feel bad. That's how you make them feel bad, by calling them slaves. The word slave comes from a word Slav, which are the Czechoslovakians, the Yugoslavians, which were the Slavic people of Eastern Europe that were captured by the Romans as status symbols. They were called Slavs, and eventually that word became slave. But that would be relating to the Slavic people. We produced capital. They never produced capital. We produced the cotton. We built houses. We did all the iron works there you see in New Orleans. We produced capital. We were prisoners of war, made to labor under guns. So there are 8 references that you have to honor your ancestors. Well, in 1795, a group of plantation owners from South Carolina and Virginia went to Germany to consult with a man whose name was Johann Friedrich Blumenbach. And Blumenbach said, I know why you all are having trouble with those black folks over there. The reason is you don't cut off the knowledge of their African ancestors. And they said, well, how can we do that? How can we cut off the knowledge of the African? Because the mama and daddy is going to tell the children all about Akhenaten, all about Khufu. They're going to tell them about the greatness of their Kemetan or Egyptian background. They're going to tell all about the great university cities of Songhai from which we took them.
Mm-hmm.
And Blumenbach laughed and he said, well, it's simple. There's a way to do that. And they'll never be able to learn about it. And they said, well, how do you do that? Because the mom and daddy are going to tell the children. He said, what you do? As soon as a boatload of them arrives over here from Africa, you take the babies out their mamas and daddy's arms and raise the babies on distant plantations where they'll never hear about who they are. They'll never hear it. And that way, you've cut it off. So when those children grow up, they can't tell their children that they came from a beautiful city called Timbuktu. They can never tell their children they came from a beautiful city called Jeanne, a city considered by world travelers the most beautiful city in the world for 300 years, from 1300 all the way up to 1700. They can never tell their children that they came from university cities because they were babies when they were snatched out of their mamas and daddy's arms. And that's why black people can't even tell what country they came from. They can tell what continent, Africa. But you take 500 black people and say, all right, what city in Africa did you come from? They can't tell you.
That's right.
Can't tell you. Why? Because their grandparent was snatched out their mama's arms when they were babies. So once we did that, then these children taught them who they were. These children in all these schools that we have demonstrated the accuracy of what we're talking about. Those children went from C's and D's to B pluses and A's.
You're saying just knowing?
Just knowing. Just knowing.
Yeah.
Just
knowing. Well, I might have C here for a split minute, and that is that the way in which the brainwashing has been perpetrated against us. Too many of us feel, though, that our history is not important. But if you go back to Akhenaten, you go back and learn that he was interested in trying to teach our people their history. And you find that a man, a Senator Cicero, who was a Roman senator, and he found that during this period of time, that at one time we knew our history. So he came to the conclusion that there was very little that was more important than for any people to know their history, their language, their culture, and tradition. For without such knowledge, one stands naked and before the world. And what are some more of the things that Dr. Robinson had just told us here about the greatness of our people? That mathematics, by the astronomer priestess, they were known as a special breed of women. They had a particular name. They were called Typhonians. They were a special breed of people.
4,700 years ago.
Right, 4,700 years ago. And they created the science of geometry, trigonometry, and calculus. And that's why our men at that time, our brothers at that time, were able to build the pyramid. But today, the European has usurped this information to themselves, plagiarizing in many ways, putting out motion pictures or putting out documentaries, so-called documentaries, and implying that the blacks were not the original people and that it was the Arabs. Now, just recently here in this war between Iraq and the United States, that right after the war it was supposed to have been concluded, which really that country is really known as Persia in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And that they said that the cradle of civilization was in Persia. And that's the biggest lie they ever told. The biggest lie they ever told. And I don't mind telling them. So therefore, we have to be diligent in putting forth our information. Because if we don't do that, then it will seem as though that we are not sure of ourselves, that we don't know what we're doing. We gotta let the world know that we know our history. Now, we know that all of us aren't gonna know it. Only the chosen few. When I say chosen few, I don't mean somebody went around and chose them, but it's like the cream coming to the top in a quart of milk. Mm-hmm. Those people who have been touched by the universe, by the Creator, mm-hmm. to have that special interest, that special feeling of commanding, mm-hmm. are the ones who's going to do that. And you will know them by their fruits. Mm-hmm. You know them by their fruits. It's always those 10%, actually it's about 2.5 to 3%, who are really the nucleus, mm-hmm. of this 10%. Now the 3%, 2.5 to 3%, galvanize the 10% into doing what has to be done. And this is what happened during the period of our bondage when we were in chains here in this country. A man by the name of Denmark Vesey and his buddy, his right hand, his lieutenant, Peter Poyas, they spent the first 5 years of their trying to organize our people. But first, before they organized them, or tried to organize them, they agitated them. They played the role of agitator. Mm-hmm. They did that in order to make them angry, to make them come to their senses. You know, like a lot of times if somebody implies that you are too bright, this, that, the other, well, you want to show these people, hey, I'm not what you say I am. Mm-hmm. But it didn't work, because that 90% of our people, mine, is inculcated into the philosophy of their detractors, which are our enemies. Mm-hmm. But it was over 4 million, slightly over 4 million, maybe 4 million and some, of our people in captivity at that time. And 10% of that, rounded off roughly, was about 500,000. And it was about 500,000 that fought in the Civil War. Some fought as soldiers, some fought as spies and labor battalions, mm-hmm. and different other jobs that were necessary to prosecute the war in the way it should have been, for a victory, not for white people per se, but just mm-hmm. to save the Union, because everything could have been changed if this had not happened. I believe Providence had a hand in that.
One of the things that we that precipitated this discussion, I believe, was that you heard a cassette tape in which I spoke for an organization named MATA, in which I proved that the people record.
I want Dr. Robinson to go into something that he came upon, which has set the scientific world of white geneticists into effect. Dr. Robinson, like you were talking about the DNA theory.
Yes. A few years ago, my brother and I read a book called The Mark of Oppression. And these two publishers, Cardiner and Oversea, said that they could not understand how is it that a group of people, African Americans, have been bludgeoned over their heads mentally and spiritually for hundreds of years and are still surviving. They couldn't understand it. And they said so in their book. The answer came out in 1996, why it is that not only have African Americans survived the worst mental and spiritual bludgeoning of any people in recorded history, but they are becoming champions of everything in which there is a level playing field. No matter what it is, we predominate in every field. This is why they won't teach our children African history, because they know that once our children get on the same level playing field as their white counterparts, that they will dominate just like we dominate in basketball, baseball, football, track and field, and anything else in which there is a level playing field. So while they teach their children about the greatness of their European ancestors, they won't teach our children about the greatness of their African ancestors, because then that would be a level playing field in academia. And they know that we will predominate, just like all of these examples we've given them, that our children predominate when they know who they are from the African historical point of view. Now, here's what I found out in 1996. A group of geneticists wrote this book. Little tiny geneticists.
Can you identify where they're from and
the group,
how it came about?
Yeah, okay.
Study?
All right, sure. Yes, indeed. An organization is called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. Now, this organization is composed of people who study about DNA and the genome. And you've been reading about the DNA and the genomes. Well, this group of scientists came upon an idea by accident at first, that different groups of people had different numbers of DNA series.
Explain that.
Now, a DNA series means that when your DNA is located, and say they get a hair from your head and they are subjected to certain tests, they say, well, this is the DNA of Minister Brown, and yours is different from everybody else in the world. All right? Then they found further that not only are their DNA series different, but the number of DNAs in there are different in different groups. Whites have a different number of DNA, and blacks have a different number of DNA series. Apes have a different number of DNA series. Then they found this amazing thing, that the greater the number of DNA series, the smarter the person, the group is, the greater the probability of genius within that group. So they tested the orangutans, these 15 geneticists from around the world. Now, these geneticists came from 9 different universities. And we have here on the cover of the pamphlet they put out the names of these geneticists. And you can see them right there, right beneath the title of this pamphlet. Now, this pamphlet, most people have no idea what it means. But breaking it down, and after you study it and have it explained to you by a geneticist, a trained geneticist, you will find that they're talking about DNA series. Now, here are the names of these 15 geneticists from around the world, University of Japan, University of China. Yale University is the headquarters of this organization called the American Association for the Advancement of Science. And you see it down there. Now, this was copyrighted in 1996. All right. What it said is this, and this is the mind-blowing part. It said that when they tested the orangutan, they found out he only had 3 DNA series. When they tested the gorilla, they found that the gorilla has 4 DNA series, but he's a little smarter than the orangutan. They tested the chimpanzee, which is an ape, and found that he had 5 DNA series. Then they went all into the different races of the world. They went into Europe and tested the DNA series of the English, the French, the German, the Spanish, the Russians, and found they had 6 DNA series. Then they put all of this, what they found from around the world, on a map. And this map really is called the intelligence map of the world, because they tested 116 different human groups and found their DNA series numbers. All of them, all over the world, have 6. And they put the numbers in form of a little flag that you can see on this map. These little flags have a color. And they show, this is upside down. I'm sorry. Yeah. And they show that the English have only 6. And all into Europe, only 6. Went over into Japan and China, and they only have 6. Over into America, with a predominantly European, and they only have 6. Then they came to Africa, and they came to the part of Africa. Now, all the rest of them, they put in little flag colors. Those flag colors are orange, red, if you notice. But when you came to Africa, found out that the African people have 9 DNA series from here just below the Songhai Empire down to the foot of Africa. All those 10 nations, of which African Americans descended from one of them, we have 9 DNA series, the greatest possibility of genius in our group. Now it's answered this age-old question: how can a people survive being told they're nothing for 400 years, never allowed to learn that they came from beautiful cities, and told they came from a jungle? How could a people survive? How can a people become champions in everything they touch?
Welcome to the Kenyatta Williams Show.
DNA series.
Kenyatta Williams Show. This is how I want my show to be. I hope y'all listening to this, brother.
Outside of this, now this map is taken. I took this map right from this page here, and I blew it up so that the world could see it. Even though this is copyrighted, I can't let you have this book because it's copyrighted.
Can you give us the title of the book?
The title of the book is called Global Patterns of Linkage Disequilibrium at the CD4 Locus and modern human origins. Global patterns of linkage, disequilibrium at the CD4 locus and modern human origins. Now you have to be a geneticist to even know what they're talking about. But when we broke it down and interviewed Dr. Kidd, the head, he's the chairman at Yale University. He broke it down into plain everyday English so that the world would know that the African American is descended from those people who gave to the world the Great Pyramid, gave to the world science, gave to the world mathematics. A black man named Ahmose gave algebra to the world 3,700 years ago. It's in the world books, it's in the encyclopedias. They don't want our children to know this, because then that would make the playing field level for white children.
Facts.
And you know what happens when they made the playing field level in basketball and allowed black men to play. Out of 29 of the top seeded players in the world today, 28 are African American. When they opened up the Penn relays, when they opened up the Olympics and allowed blacks to run back in 1932, we've won all the gold medals. And the same thing will happen in the classroom when they allow our children to learn their African history. That's what this is saying.
Dr. Robinson,
mm-hmm.
Are you saying that the African American also has 9 strands of DNA?
I am saying that we are descended from the West Africans who have 9 DNA series. On this map, that these geneticists, you see the green? You see the green down here?
Yes.
Well, that's where we're from. That's where African Americans are from.
Did they test African Americans?
They couldn't. They tested American as a group, whites. And they have 6. They didn't test African Americans because they know that we are the same people from West Africa.
Oh, so they didn't have to.
Didn't have to.
Okay, that's true.
That's true.
How is it that you think that this evolved, that we evolved with 9 strands?
9.
Below the Sahara.
Well, it tells you in here. This book tells why. Preemie babies, leaving the mother's womb early, too early, never develop to the same height that a baby that runs a full term.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
White folks and Italian, all mankind arose in Africa. All mankind arose in this part of Africa, right here. It's called the womb of Africa. That's the womb of Africa over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Between the Middle East and...
No. That, Kenya. Kenya.
Uganda.
Yeah, that Uganda area. All mankind arose there.
Oh.
The great granddaddies of white folks, great granddaddies of Chinese, great granddaddies of Japanese, our great granddaddies, all of us looked the same. All looked like apes. That was called Australopithecus. I don't know how technical you want me to get. Australopithecus was the granddaddy, great-great-granddaddy of all races. Now, they left the womb 800,000 years ago. Whites left the womb and went over, wandered up into Europe, and the Chinese wandered over into Asia. And they left the womb before they were fully developed. That's why they did not develop melanin like we did. Those of us who stayed developed full term. They never developed the melanin stimulating hormone. This is why we're the only race on the planet that does not have head lice in our hair.
Head lice.
Head lice. They are little bugs.
Yes.
Cooties.
Cooties, right.
Cooties. We're the only race on the planet because we developed full term. We lost our straight hair, that animal hair, over 150,000 years ago. You see, all other races have head lice because they never developed fully. Melanin is this magical chemical that is developed on the fifth layer of the epidermis of your skin. Now, we've been brainwashed to believe that the less melanin you have, the prettier you are, because that's the brainwash. Yes. That's like saying a naked person is prettier than a person with beautiful clothes on. If you get what I'm trying to say, the scenario, yeah. Melanin heals. When you cut yourself, the melanin rushes to the surface of your skin and forms a scab. What color is that scab? I don't care what color. Brown, dark brown. Right. That's the melanin
right.
coming up to heal you. This is why we do not get skin cancer, because of the melanin prevents it. The only place where we can get skin cancer, we learned it in the Inquiry today, is on the palm of the hand and the fingers. And I can't believe we'd be putting our hand up to the sun to get skin cancer.
can you talk a little bit more about this hair and the light? What are you saying about African hair?
Oh, what am I saying? Oh, that's a good question.
Because, okay. You know, we spend a lot of time straightening it and frying it and cooking it.
And the question is why? And the reason why is because we've been programmed to believe that our hair is ugly. And as a result of the ruby comb.
Oh, the ruby comb.
Oh, here it is. And the reason why is we want, on the plantation, our mothers and fathers were programmed to believe that we were ugly. The white man said, look, you're ugly. So we thought that everything he had was good. So that's why they called our hair bad. So whenever you are raised up to believe that what you got is bad, you're going to have an inferiority complex, and you're not going to perform on high a level as God gave you the gift to perform. Well, white folks have this big problem of head lice. That's the bug. And all animals do. The ape has to groom himself all day long, picking the bugs out of their hair. Why? Because he has straight hair. Straight hair is animal hair. And therefore, our women spend $15 billion a year to have hair that has head lice. But fortunately, it goes down to the roots. Your straight hair has to come from the root, because the straight hair comes through a round follicle, not an elliptical follicle like human hair, like our hair does. So we've been programmed to believe that. Now, what I have here, right here, is a picture of a ruby comb. Now, what is a ruby comb? Well, a few years ago, they found that the pesticides that they were using on straight hair to kill the head lice was losing its effectiveness. If you go into a drugstore, I don't know if you all have Rite Aid in New York. Well, you go into Rite Aid and you say, where's the counter for the head lice? They'll point you over to a counter where they have all kinds of pesticide listed. And they have 19 types of chemicals. But these chemicals are losing their effectiveness, they're losing their power. So the scientists went to the laboratory and came up with an electronic comb called a ruby comb. And here's a picture of it right here. Now, the ruby comb kills the head lice electronically, and you hear it, because zap, zap, zap. You can hear it when it kills a louse. That's one louse. and it kills another louse and combs it out of the head and also kills the nits. Now, we have a word in the English language called nitpicking. That means picking the nits out of you. Now, what are nits? Nits are little white capsules that can hold the eggs of the lice.
Right.
So nitpicking is taking charge of little tiny things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little tiny thing that they get out their heads. Nitpicking. So when I made that cassette tape, said, we are the supreme remnant of the most advanced people on the planet. I was saying that knowing that we came with 9 DNA series.
Mm-hmm.
So we start off better.
Can I ask you one question?
Oh, you ask me a gang of questions.
When did the 9 strands evolve?
Well, all right, let's go back.
All right.
Let's go back. That's a good question. Yeah. Okay. 2 million years ago, Australopithecus, that's all was on Earth, the great-great-granddaddy of all human beings. And he was about 3 DNA series. And then as the millions of years went on, he evolved into what is known as Homo erectus. Now, he had about 3.5 DNA series. They're about the level of the orangutan. If you look at the orangutan today, you can see what our ancestors looked like 2.5 million years ago, because he has the same golden hair as Europeans' hair right today.
Mm-hmm.
The orangutan. You've heard of the orangutan over there in India? Now, maybe this is a little too rough for your audience, and you're going to get bombarded out of your place and station, because white folks don't like to hear this at all. I'm sorry. You can edit that.
We've already done the research.
This was done by white folks.
This was done by white folks.
Yeah. Not a problem.
Yeah. We didn't do it.
Sure.
We didn't do it. And here's the names of the people. I don't know how. Now, I made you a copy. Here's a copy of the front piece with all, and a copy of the back piece with all the references where you can find it.
Oh, that is excellent.
So maybe you can take that with you.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the inside is what was copyrighted.
Dr. Robinson,
yeah.
Why do you think the research was done? Was it to determine the intellectual difference?
They thought it was going to come out differently.
Yeah. Oh.
That's why they copyrighted. You ain't heard nothing about it, have you?
No.
That's why you have it.
They didn't publish it.
No, they ain't going to publish it.
Oh, so they copyrighted it to keep it from being
that, now you got it. Now you got it. Well, okay. Of course.
Okay.
You see, they went at it. I was paid $9,000 a couple years ago to write up what is known as a tricontinental racial evolution. In other words, what was happening only on cultural stuff? What was happening 50,000 years ago in Europe? What was happening 40,000 years ago in Europe? 30,000. What was happening 50,000 years ago in Africa? What was happening 40,000 years, 30,000, 20,000, 10,000? A timeline, it's called.
Correct.
Now, this national corporation thought, when they gave me the assignment, they thought that it would prove that the Europeans were so far ahead of Africans that would be no argument. They didn't know that when I got and handed them the findings with 37 books, 28 written by whites, just the opposite. That 44,000 years ago, we had civilizations.
44,000.
Iron and steel manufacturing, cities and universities, 44,000 years ago. Well, the Europeans' first book was written 2,800 years ago, 42,000 years later. And that book was by a man named Homer.
And he didn't write it.
It's a poem. It's a poem.
He couldn't have written it because Greeks had no alphabet.
2800. Yeah,
they had no alphabet.
Well,
they had no alphabet until
they did.
Kemetic people.
No, they. Homer wrote the book. Now, there's no question
all
about
right,
that.
Hang so, on, okay. Yeah. I can't get information from you.
And but the first book written in Europe was only 2,800 years ago. We had universities 44,000 years ago. I mean,
it's a light point. It's a moot point to argue. Yeah, give it to them.
Now, okay. Then
you were talking about the evolutionary process.
Yeah. So as the hundreds of thousands of years went by, we acquired, all mankind acquired more and more. But those who left Africa 800,000 years ago did not get past 6 DNA series.
Uh-huh.
They had left the womb. The womb is Africa. That's where you develop. Just like in the mother's womb, the baby can't develop to his full potential outside the womb. That's why preemies have such a hard, those babies born prematurely, they're called preemies.
Yeah, Professor Robinson. Oh, I'm sorry, Dr. Robinson.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
One of the things that was noted, especially in the northern United States, was that most Black or African young women who are bearing children are told that they have to have cesarean sections, which are C-sections. And these children are usually taken from the womb prior to its natural
revolution.
Mm-hmm. Revolution.
Yeah,
9 months.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Do you think that there may be some correlation between that developmental process with respect to the DNA, the non-DNA, or maybe there's some secret study being conducted? Research?
I really don't know. This is one thing I've learned is that when you make intellectual guess, knowing how we have always been used as experimental subjects, I would guess that these Black women were subjected to this C-section in order to improve how they did this for white women. That's how I believe. That's what I believe. I would believe that until somebody showed me differently. But we've always been used for experimental purposes. One more thing I want to make sure that I get this in. I have here in my hand a book. It's the oldest complete book written by man in the world, in history. This is a copy of that book. This is what we teach our children. That this book, which is not the oldest book that's ever been written by Africans, but it's the oldest complete book found. And this book written 2,300 B.C. before Christ. That's like 4,400 years ago, 4,400 years ago. This is a copy of the book. It's written by a man whose name was Ptahotep. And these are called the teachings of Ptahotep, written 4,400 years ago. And they found a very interesting introduction by those men who got the copy as soon as it was translated from ancient Kemetian language into English. One of the names of the men, his name is Asa G. Hilliard from the State University of Georgia, and Harriet Williams. These are historians who go into this, but I just want to show you how it feels to be reading a book written by a man 110 years old, who was 110 years old 4,400 years ago. So this is what we teach our children.
What's the geographical origin of this book?
Egypt, ancient Egypt. We call it Kemet.
That's the real name.
That's the real name.
Dr. Robinson, before you go, I would like for you to give us your impression or your insight as to what these nine DNA strands mean spiritually. Because I have a feeling that it has a relationship to a spiritual dimension that we are not aware of.
Yes, sir. I agree. And, I thought you were looking at
No. Y'all listening to the Kenyatta Williams Show? I love y'all.
It's more than just knowing how to figure, how to mathematically calculate the distance from here to a star. For instance, most of you have heard of the metric system, where New York is a certain number of kilometers from Philadelphia, and you see on road signs how many kilometers it is to the next town and how many miles it is to the next town and so on. Well, the metric system is based on a meter. A meter is a certain length, called the meter is 39.37 inches. Now, where did that come from? Well, it came from the pyramid, because inside of the pyramid was a granite slab that was found by a Frenchman whose name was Abbé Morio. And on the back of this granite slab was the inscription in hieroglyphics saying that this represented 1/10 millionth of the distance from the equator to the North Pole, calculated by our fathers and mothers 5,200 years ago, and was put on a slab and put into the pyramid, which is only 4,600 years old. So it was kept 600 years and put inside of the pyramid. From that, Abbé Morio, who found it, created the metric system. Because that's a fixed distance, the distance from the North Pole to the equator, calculated by black people 5,200 years ago.
So I say to teachers and the heads of the departments in Philadelphia,
much respect,
why don't you
much love,
African children?
All I'm saying is,
African-American
just pay attention, y'all.
Their fathers,
you know what I mean? Seriously.
Why?
Doctor.
And they hang their heads.
Robinson.
And the reason they hang their heads.
Professor.
They didn't know.
Robinson. Mm-hmm. I thank you, brothers, for y'all contribution.
1/10 million.
And the information that y'all tried to give out. You know, a lot of people don't want to hear stuff like this. And it's a reason why, you know, they programmed us to not want to hear the truth. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day,
they didn't know.
What goes around comes around, and I mean 360 degrees. Your past is your future. Your future is your past. Everything is already written. So, we've already been forgiven. Everything is written, and just know that God is looking down on us. You know, one love, one nation under God. We all need to learn each other. And again, this wasn't recorded with the intent of offending anybody. It was with the intent of enlightening more black people about our real history. So again, this is the Kenyatta Williams Show. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. And hope y'all enjoyed the show. Respect.
You see, it isn't that we weren't taught something. We were taught negative things about ourselves. It's not knowing.